Some may be wondering why we read in this portion today when it's Father's Day, but I think you must by now have guessed that the hero in this story is the Father, is God the Father. And I pray that the lessons that we get from this will shape the ways that we relate within ourselves and the way we relate with God the Father. So Hannah's cry and her journey to vindication is an example for many of us that we must not give up. There should not be any chance for giving up. And if we are to just give this story a context, if you look at the scripture, particularly in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel, where we encounter this woman called Hannah, the Bible in those chapters is full with commentary on faith, on prayer, and God's sovereignty. Anna's prayer and the subsequent vow that she made exemplifies her deep faith, her willingness to trust God even in the face of barrenness and societal scorn. In the Old Testament times, a childless woman was considered a failure. Her barrenness was an embarrassment for her husband. And just note, you know, the children in that world were a very important part of the economic structure of society. They were a source of labor for the family, and it was their duty to care for their parents when they become old. If a wife could not bear children, she was often bound by ancient Middle Eastern custom to give one of her servant girls to the husband to raise children for her. Although Elkanah, that is Hannah's husband, although he had the right actually to divorce her because she didn't have any children for him, he didn't do that. But he remained lovingly devoted to her despite social criticism and his rights under civil law. The prevailing situation at the time was that the nation had fallen away from the ways of God, and unrighteousness was the order of the day. Eli was a priest at the time, but at this time, he was getting old. And his two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, who were priests, were corrupt and therefore were not eligible to take over from their father. What this means is that God will have to find a faithful and righteous man to take over. God can do nothing. And we see from scripture, God always looks for a man or a woman to use. God is always looking for somebody to use. So he cannot do anything until he finds a man or a woman whom he can work with. And that is a man who has clean hands and a pure heart, as Psalm 24 verse 4 tells us. And this is where God's need for a man of the hour was met through the prayer of a desperate godly woman who was barren. We will now proceed to examine the text in more details. So, first, Anna's heartbreak. life's difficulties represented by Hannah's barrenness and Elkanah's divided household often highlights our need for God's intervention. This mirrors the beginning of many journeys of faith, illustrating personal struggles that bring us to God's mercy. As Hannah's story unfolds, so does the understanding that God's plan often begins amid human sufferings. Hannah's story exemplifies God's ability to walk through seemingly weak and powerless situations. And in so doing, he subverts human notions of power and status. How does this apply to us? In the broken world that we inhabit, we all face different challenges and heartbreaks, don't we? What are your struggles? Where do you turn to for help in a time of need? Who do you turn to when you are in trouble? These are big questions. The second part we want to look at is Peninnah's provocation. Hannah knew that her husband loved her, but even his encouragement could not comfort her. She could not avoid listening to Peninnah's jeers and letting Peninnah's words erode her self-confidence. Hannah's emotional turmoil was made worse due to Peninnah's taunting. She had a good reason to feel discouraged and bitter. Although we cannot keep others from unjustly criticizing us, we can choose how we will react to their hurtful words. Rather than dwelling upon our problems, we can enjoy the loving relationships God has given us. By so doing, we can exchange self-pity for hope. No doubt, life circumstances and others' words can deepen our distress and yet prompt us to seek divine refuge. Hannah wept and refused to eat because she was sorrowful. But her desperation led her to pray, and that was where she encountered the goodness of God. Through this trial, Hannah begins her path to vindication, showing how God uses personal pain to draw us closer, preparing us in that situation for his solution. When your child or spouse or friend is struggling and you are not sure how to help, or when you are stretched thin and feel you have nothing left to give, that's when you and I will discover that God is not just there, but he is good and faithful. In those moments, please turn your eyes to Jesus in prayer. We're talking here about biological barrenness, but as you look around, we could see spiritual barrenness in our land today. And I'm sure that is a cause for concern for many of us here. But the question is, How can we rise to the occasion to reverse this situation? Is anyone here desperate enough, like Hannah, to commit to praying for sons and daughters, for grandchildren, for neighbors, for friends, for colleagues at work to turn to the Lord? Do you want to see renewal in our community? Do you want to see this building filled once again with true followers of Jesus Christ? Please do not fold your arms and say, we are a small congregation and we cannot make much impact. No, no, no. Let us be audacious in prayers, in desperation. Cry out to God for spiritual Samuels to be birthed in our community. Let us rise and overcome fear, spiritual stagnation, limitation, and all barriers that the enemy has put in our ways. Remember, the earth belongs to God and all that is in it. And he waits to answer our prayer. But are we willing to pray passionately and persistently? 3, earnest plea. If we look at verse 9 to 11, earnest prayer and vow in the temple illustrates true faith's power amid sorrow. Connecting to God's example, this could underscore how persistence in prayer and vows are faith. Vows of faith are key as they align with God's redemptive purposes and his promise. Anna's prayer, even while expressing grief and anger, reflects her unwavering faith in God and her belief in his ability to answer prayers. God's power to reverse human circumstances and elevate the humble is central to Anna's song of praise in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. This song highlights God's ability to make the strong weak and the weak strong. Her vow in verse 11 to dedicate Samuel to the Lord, even though it meant surrendering her deepest desire, demonstrates her obedience and willingness to trust God's plan for her son's life. When she made the vow, it wasn't an attempt to twist God or to cut a deal with him, but it represents trust in God that transcends immediate understanding or relief. 4, Eli's misjudgment, verse 12 to 16. Eli's initial misunderstanding of Hannah's silent prayer reflects misconceptions others hold about spiritual struggles. Meanwhile, this moment also exemplifies God's discernment, contrasting human judgment while showcasing how even misunderstood prayers hold weight when rightly directed to God with sincere faith. Hannah was not drunk, but she was pouring out her heart out to God. Year after year, we're told Elkanah, Hannah's husband, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. Verse 3a. Hannah was herself devoted to God And she sought to live connected to God and in ways that pleased the Lord. She prayed from the depth of her soul, but she was misjudged by an experienced priest. No matter what you do, brothers and sisters, there will be people who are critical of you. Some may say you're too loud or too quiet when you are praying. Do not be discouraged. Hang in there. The fifth point here is divine assurance, peace in promise. Verse 17 to 20. Earlier, Hannah had been discouraged to the point of being physically sick and unable to eat. At this point, however, she returned home well and happy. The change in her attitude may be attributed to 3 points here. 1, she honestly prayed to God, verse 11. 2, she received encouragement from Eli, verse 17. 3, she resolved to leave the problem with God, verse 18. Therefore, Eli's blessing and Anna's subsequent peace is suggestive of the peace that comes through faith, even before circumstances change. So in the course of time, and that's from verse 20, in the course of time, Anna became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Thus, God's sovereignty met and shaped her destiny and that of the nation. In the period of waiting, Hannah finds peace in God's presence through prayer, reminding us all that true comfort can be found in God's faithfulness, even when circumstances change. God often provides assurance through his promises echoed in Christ's coming presence. Anna's story emphasizes God's promise to hear and to answer, paving the way for future hope. I'm sure sometimes when you read the story of Anna, it's difficult to kind of understand how social, cultural practices affects people. And I think I've seen quite a lot of difficulties in marriages in Nigeria where this kind of problem happened. So you can't just understand it, but it's the reality of people in other climes. But the question is there a struggle that you are facing right now? And how do you consider modeling for others trust in God? The key is to tell God exactly how you feel and then leave the problems with him. Then rely upon the assurance of his word. I know, like I said, children are not economic commodities, if you allow me to use that, in this culture. But we recognize, in fact, in this culture, that some people choose not to have children, and of course, some people choose to be celibate. However, as Christians, we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to become disciple makers. There is no higher calling than praying people into the kingdom of God. It is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 that says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives." And the King James Version will say of that B part that he that winneth souls is wise. So, as we bring this time together to a close, let me take a few seconds to reiterate God's pattern of redeeming his people. As we have seen, God is searching for a woman or a man through whom he can act. Hannah, in this story, became a willing vessel. God's need for a man of the hour to judge his people crystallized through the faithful prayer of a desperate, godly woman who was barren. Samuel's ministry was an amazing one. He was a prophet, a priest, and a judge. Many around us today are living without God in their lives. I perceive that we feel uncomfortable about this. In the order of Anna, can we respond to the battle cry to pray so that the situation around us can be reversed? We may be too old, I admit, to bear children biologically, but not so spiritually. Pray. Talk to people about Jesus. Invite them to the church, to events where they can meet Jesus. You perhaps know this chorus that says, "Must I go an empty-handed?" Do you know that? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? We'll say we will not go empty-handed. The trophies we will present to him will be trophies.